When we talk about sharing faith, sometimes we immediately assume that sharing your faith is something like that, like all these big words and like, what do I do? I'm not a theologian. How am I going to learn how to do this? I need to study for years in college. And then like we get all nervous and freaked out. But I think what we're going to learn tonight as we walk through 2 Timothy 1, still we're in verse 9, Paul is telling Timothy something that is going to hopefully put your mind at ease. He's going to say, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. You don't have to be this like crazy theologian or write all these books to be able to share the gospel. And you guys have heard some of your peers come up here and share their testimony throughout this year. And one thing that they keep saying to you is like, we can all do this. Like, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be like someone who's studied this for a long time to be able to tell somebody that God's good or to be able to tell somebody that Jesus can save them. Because we have personally experienced it for ourselves. So basically, you're just sharing your story. And so Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. You guys might remember this story from the Bible, this guy named Peter. And Peter was a disciple. He was like a manly man, like a fisherman. He actually, before he got saved and met Jesus, kind of was like that really like rough dude. And all of a sudden, he meets Jesus, and this thing happens in him, and his life changes. And he's out on this boat with the disciples, and they're chilling out there, doing some fishing. And the wind picks up a little bit, and the waves pick up. And all of a sudden, they see across the water this dude coming toward them. That half of them are like, man, it's a ghost. Like, this is some sort of ghost coming after us. And they're freaking out, like, we're going to die. And then as it gets closer, they realize that's Jesus. Like, Jesus is walking on the water right now. He's walking over the waves out in the middle of this huge lake, and we're watching him do a miracle right in front of our eyes. And so Jesus calls Peter and says, hey, get out of the boat. And there's Peter, like, big, tough, manly fisherman, right? He's the first one. Boom, he puts his foot over. His toes hit that wave. You know, he feels it through the sandals. And he kind of presses his weight down on that leg. He's like, is it going to hold me, you know? And then he swings that other leg over, and he stands up with all his weight on that water, and he doesn't sink. And there he is with the waves moving around and the wind blowing. He's in the middle of the sea, and he's looking at Jesus, and they're both standing on the water. And there are the other disciples right next to him, right? And they're in the boat still, and they're watching this happen. And they're like, what? With big eyes. They're like, how is this possible? And there's Peter, and he was just staring at Jesus. It says then like the waves picked up, right? And so he started to get worried about looking over at what the waves were doing and what the wind was doing and this storm that might be coming in and the boat that was next to him. And his eyes start to wander. And the second he took his eyes off Jesus, you know what happened? He starts to sink. Jesus reaches out and grabs him and pulls him back up, and his eyes go back on Christ. And as I think of that story and what Paul is telling Timothy tonight in this book that we're studying, I think of how Peter like got distracted by all the other stuff. And for me, that's like when I want to share my faith, that's thinking like, man, I'm just not good enough. I'm not cool enough. I'm not like eloquent enough with my words. I'm not funny enough. What are they going to think about me? And all these things start going up, and it gets really complicated. And I almost talk myself out of sharing the good news of Jesus with other people because of all of the complication that I make. When really it might just be that I'm like Peter looking at all the waves and the wind. And it's so simple to just keep your eyes on Jesus. Because the whole point of our story that we're telling is Jesus. It's not all this theology. It's not all this crazy study that you've done. It's not how cool you are, how funny you are. It's about Jesus. When we come here, Firehouse, you know, this, all of this is about Jesus. Some of us make it really complicated. You're coming to impress some friends. Dudes are strutting your stuff, like trying to impress that girl that's coming tonight and you want to see, and you want her to like see you, right? So you guys are trying to be real funny or like athletic outside, and we have all these things that we complicate what we're doing here with. Getting those arguments with people, it stops you from even coming. Oh, I don't want to see them tonight. I don't want to have that like awkward look as we walk by each other at Firehouse. I'd rather stay home. See how complicated it gets? It's Satan's trick to keep you from worshiping Jesus because we actually think those things are important. When really, if we were like Peter, we would have learned the lesson to say it's not about those things, it's about Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's why we come to Firehouse. We're here tonight to see Jesus. If you're here for another reason, I'm so sorry for you. Like, you're going to miss out on some really cool stuff. Because when you come and it's all about Jesus, you leave so filled. You leave in a way you can't experience in any other way unless you come and just look at Jesus with both eyes wide open and say, it's all about you tonight. So I want to encourage you guys, I want to invite you to make it about Jesus right now. As you're sitting there, get rid of the distractions, forget your friend who's trying to make you laugh or poke you or whatever. Now you guys are going to poke each other because I said it, I know. And just be like, yeah, get out of your system, there you go. And now let's just make it about Jesus. Let's see what he does in your heart and in my heart tonight as we get into his word. So as we're talking about sharing your faith and we're keeping it simple and it's focused on Jesus, it's really kind of just these three things that happen. Like, we're broken. You and I are broken people. We're sinful. You don't want to admit that you're sinful? Let me follow you around for a few minutes and I'll point it out real quick to you because you can do the same thing if you hang out with me. You're going to see it. We're sinful. We're broken. All of us. And because we're broken, we need Jesus. And that's the good part, is that Jesus died and rose again. What we just did right here with this water was a picture of that. It didn't save Kai. Kai got saved when he believed in Christ in his heart. And now he's just here to express to you tonight that he was going under the water like Jesus died. He's dying with Jesus to sin. And he's being raised again, just like Jesus rose again from the dead, into a brand new identity and a brand new life to follow Christ. And that's the thing. We're broken sinners and we need Jesus who died for us. And if we trust in him with our hearts, we'll have eternal life. It's that simple, y'all. And so sharing our faith doesn't have to be this big sermon that you prepare and you go home for weeks and you're writing it out, the speech you're going to give, and you study and you write it and you put jokes in there and illustrations and stories and you're ready now, right? No, it's just, hey, listen, we're broken, but Jesus died for us so we can live forever if we trust him. That's the gospel right there in a couple words. You just have to believe it in your heart. You see, you can't really share the gospel like that unless you've believed the gospel, unless tonight you're believing that Jesus really did that for you. And so let's look at 2 Timothy 1:9 as Paul tells us about this. It says this, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, and because of our works, and not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. Remember those two words. His own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So I want to point something out to you guys. Look at those first three words. He's talking about Jesus, right? It says, Jesus, who saved us. Did you know you needed to be saved? It's funny how when I talk to people, a lot of people don't even recognize that they need salvation. Like, they're like, what do I need to be saved from? Like, I'm doing great. Life's fine. They don't recognize their brokenness or their sinfulness or that they're separated from Jesus. And it's offensive. It's offensive to even hear someone tell you that, right? You don't want someone walking up to you going, hey, you're broken. And you're like, what? Excuse me? Right? You're sinful. Oh, you know, the gospel's offensive, but it's true. Because we really are. The Bible says every single person is. And so when it says here, who saved us, are you aware how badly you need Jesus' rescue in your life? When I was a little kid, I went to the fair with some friends, some older friends, and we were chilling, and we went on this one ride that, like, it's the weird, like, carousel, but it goes really fast and, like, make you sick. I don't know if you've been on that one. It just, like, goes around and around super fast and, like, almost, like, sideways, and you're just sitting there and basically you just want to throw up the whole time. So we got in this thing, and I'm all the way to one side, but I'm like the smallest one in the group. I was like just a little kid. And as we were going around, it was one of those really janky like fairs. The little bar that's supposed to hold you in clicked up. And so like, and plus the other dudes were bigger, so it was already too loose, but then it clicked up even further when we went around. And as we start to whip around and that speed picks up, my body started to slide to the outside and then slide up. And basically I was about to go out of this little cart that we were in. And I'm hanging on for dear life to this bar, screaming. And they're like, oh, they're thinking it's funny at first. Like, oh, look how scared he is. Until they realized I was about to fly out of that thing and just die, splatter somewhere. And I remember my buddy noticed and he reached over and he grabbed me and he pulled me back in and he basically just like held me in for the rest of the ride. Like he was the bar for me. And I just remember how scared I was. Like things were going to go black. I was just like blacking out. And then all of a sudden I feel him pull me in. And that moment, it was like this relief that hit me. Like, I almost just died. Like I almost just flew out of this thing. Who knows what would have just happened to me if that friend of mine hadn't pulled me back in. Like I couldn't have pulled myself back in. The centrifugal force was too hard. In that moment, I realized how badly I needed to be rescued, right? And every day we walk through life and a lot of us don't realize how badly we need to be rescued. We're thinking life's cool, like we're fine, the bar's down. But we don't see that we need a savior, that we're broken. We don't want to admit that we have sin. We don't want to admit that there really is a God who holds us accountable, because then we'll have to answer to him. We don't want to admit that we need anyone else. A lot of dudes, man, you guys know what I'm talking about. Guys are real bad about this. I don't need anything. I'm in control. Right? Who needs to rescue me? It's my job to rescue other people. Like that's what we think. And we're going through life taking this walk like, no, I don't need anything. And so when someone tells you, hey, you need Jesus, you're like, why? Because we don't recognize that we're flying out of the thing and we need someone to reach out and pull us back into safety. And that's what Jesus is offering us. And I want to tell you tonight, the Bible is very clear. You are a sinner. I love you, okay? I love you. I'm so glad you're here tonight. And I don't say that in a mean way to you, but you need to hear it. You are a sinner. So am I. Everyone in this room needs rescue. You're not in control. You don't control your life. You don't decide when you die. And there is only one person who can rescue you and promise you eternity, and it's Jesus. Everyone in this room has a need, and that's why when it says here that he saved us, if you don't think you need to be saved, you're never going to turn your heart over to Jesus. You're always going to try to do it on your own because you're good. So if you're here tonight, you've never actually trusted in Christ as your Savior, would you ask yourself that question? Like, do I recognize I actually have a need? Like, I need to be saved. Then he says this. Didn't just save us. It says, and called us. I love that because that means there's purpose in what all this is. Like, God didn't just come up with this weird plan because we sinned and all of a sudden he's rushing around going, oh no, what do I do? How do I fix this? God had a purpose and he called each of us. When you're saved, when you like come to Jesus and you say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this on my own. Forgive me. God gives you a calling. And there's a purpose to his calling. He's got a plan for your life. He's got goals for you. He has bigger things in store for you than you have for your own self. And it's awesome if you'll just recognize that it's this calling of God over you. It was not a mistake. You are not a mistake. This whole story is not a mistake. This isn't a plan B. It's on purpose. God is calling you tonight to belong. He wants you to belong to him. You do have a place to belong. You might be sitting here tonight and you feel so lonely. And I can't tell you how many people I talk to that are just like, man, my biggest problem is I feel lonely. You're not alone. You have a place to belong because God has called you with a purpose. He wants you right by his side. He wants you to be his child. And so when he offers to save you, he's calling you with purpose into his family and into his belonging. And he says this is what he's calling you to. Are you ready? To a holy calling. This thing's not just some normal calling. A lot of times we like reduce it down to like, yeah, God's going to let me know what he wants me to do with my life or what I'm going to do as a job or how big a family I'm going to have or who I'm going to marry or where I'm going to live. It's all these physical things. It's all like, tell me, God, tell me your will. All these physical things from a life that you want to happen. When really he he describes this calling as holy. Holy. You guys know what holy means? It means set apart. That God is taking you, when you accept him as your Savior, he takes you out of that physical old life, out of that brokenness, and sets you aside for this awesome purpose he has for you to do unbelievable things. You become this instrument that's only used for his purposes. That's what holy means. It's sacred. He wants you to glorify him, and he wants to use you to grow his kingdom. So, for those of you who are sitting here tonight, you're like, I've accepted Jesus. Like, I believe in him. Have you answered the call? Have you said, here's my life, like, use it? I want to glorify you with my life because that's what I'm set aside for now. That's who I am. Does your life glorify Jesus? The decisions that you make, the things that you're thinking in your head, what you go and do and how you act with your friends, does God look down and go, man, that's glorifying me. That is a holy call. They're set aside for my purposes. They are worshiping me with their lives. Or is he seeing something different when he looks at you? Is it growing his kingdom? Like, are you sharing this awesome news about Jesus with other people? Or is it all about you? I've been there, right? I know. I often go there still. Where like, man, but my life's so important and this is so exciting and I have to get this done. And then you look up and you're like, God, I'm not even serving you right now. I haven't told anybody about Jesus. I haven't even read my Bible. Like, my relationship with you is almost non-existent right now. He's like, but I've called you apart from that. I've set you aside for the sacred, holy calling and purpose to grow my kingdom. And you're not even like paying attention to me. And maybe tonight some of us need to be woken up from that. We need to remember what he's done and what he's called you to. And you know those t-shirts that we've been wearing, this We Start Fires t-shirt, and we're all saying we're going to do this and we're going to share intentionally the good news about Jesus? Here's your chance. Here's your chance to accept this reminder and stand up and be like, God, I'm focused on Jesus. I'm taking my eyes off the wind and the waves and putting it back on Jesus, and I'm going to start telling people about how good he is. And I already had some really cool conversations with a few of you tonight, just sharing stories about what's happened to you over the past few weeks and how you saw God at work in your life. And you're sitting there and you're just praising him. I can't tell you how encouraging that is to hear you say that. Not because I'm your youth pastor, but because I'm a believer. It's awesome when believers get to hear each other, encourage each other about what God's doing. He's at work in you. He's at work in your peers. If you're sitting here tonight like, man, I don't see it. Well, wake up a little bit. Believe what this is saying. Claim it and live it. Because it's happening in this room. It's happening among your age group. Your friends, your peers are seeing God at work. Do you want to see him at work? Then look at Jesus. Take your eyes off the waves. Make it simple and look back to Christ and say, let's go. I'm yours. I belong to you. Let's do this. I'm saying yes tonight, God. It says, to a holy calling, not because of our works, he says. So you can't earn this. So you're already thinking, if you're like me, you probably would be sitting there going like, okay, so what do I need to do? What's my checklist? How am I going to make this right with God? And he's like, no, like, you can't. You can't do it. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Get rid of your checklist. It's not your works that are going to impress God. It's not based on your merit or your success. It's based on his purpose. And that's what it says next. But because of his own purpose. You know why all this is real? Because God wanted it to be. He chose it. It's his purpose. God is God. He gets to make the calls. And he's like, this is, I want to love you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you grace that you don't deserve. I don't have to have a reason. I'm God. And it's a good thing because we don't deserve it. If he hadn't decided that it fit his purpose, then we would not have forgiveness or grace tonight, you know. We wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't have hope to go, hey, we have a future in heaven. How many people are excited about having a future in heaven? Like, we couldn't do that. Can't do that unless God had decided that it was his purpose to make it happen and he desired it. And it says, not just his purpose. I told you to listen to those two words when we read through the passage, purpose and grace. Don't ever, ever, ever get used to the word grace. Grace is a thing that changes our lives. It changes our entire eternity. It's getting something you don't deserve. It's a gift from God. And what it does is changes who you are. And the most valuable gift you'll ever get is God's grace through his son, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there's no grace. Jesus makes grace possible because he dies for you in your place. So every time you take a breath, so you hear that air go in and out of your lungs, every single time, would you remember, this is because of the grace of God. This is because of the grace of God. He gave us unconditional love when he gave us grace. And that's what it says next. He says that he gave it to us. It's this free gift. There's no strings attached. But look who it's in. It's in Christ Jesus. That's where the part where Peter's eyes go back. Takes him off the waves, takes him off the wind. And he looks back and sees Jesus. This grace is found only in Christ. Through his death, his burial, and resurrection from the dead is what makes it possible for you to be saved. Keep it simple. That's it. It's about Jesus dying and rising again and you trusting in him. Someone comes up to you and says, hey, what's the gospel? You could say Jesus died and rose again. So if you trust in him, he'll save you. It's about Jesus. It's that simple. Will you give Jesus the honor that he deserves? Will you hand the death that you have over to him so he can hand the life that he has over to you? It's an exchange. Take my death. I have nothing. I'm dead. I'm headed to hell without you. And then Jesus says, but let me take that and let me give you life, eternal life, if you just believe in me. I love that Kai was here tonight to come forward and be obedient, because that's exactly what Kai is saying through his baptism tonight. He wants you to know he believes what we're talking about, that his life is about saying yes to Jesus. Take my death. Give me your life. He ends with this phrase, before the ages began. This had always been the plan, y'all. This wasn't like an oh no moment that God was like, what do I do? They messed up. This was the plan. Jesus was destined to die. He was willing to die to save you. Will you guys bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? I want to encourage you guys to keep it simple. As you go to your life groups tonight and you dig in a little deeper to this conversation and try to figure out what this whole thing means, how do I share my faith? I want you to remember, keep it simple. It's about the grace of Jesus. We could take all your excuses away that you might have tonight. I know, because I have them too, right? Let them go. Forget the excuses. And turn your eyes back to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be bold about my faith. Will you help me? Would you join me? If that's your heart tonight, you want that, will you join me right now in your heart? Will you just say that to God? Just pray that to him. Say, Lord, right now, will you give me that boldness? I want to tell people about this good news. I want people to know I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Will you ask him to help you do that? Give you the boldness and the courage to do it? With your eyes still closed, I'm just curious, how many of you guys just prayed that? You'd say like, I just pray for boldness. Like, I want to be bold about Jesus. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome, y'all. Man, keep trusting Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. You can put your hands down. I got one more question. If there's anybody here tonight that you've never trusted Jesus, you haven't done what Kai's done yet. Not the baptism part, but the part about believing, about trusting that Jesus is the Son of God and that he loves you and he wants you to have a place to belong. He wants to forgive you of your sin. If you've never done that before, but tonight you're like, Rob, would you pray for me? Like, I need to do that. I've never been forgiven. I don't know where I'll spend eternity if I were to die today, but I want to know. if that's you, would you just do me a favor and just raise your hand up in the air and just say, like, pray for me, Rob. That's me tonight. That's where I'm at. I want to know Jesus is my Savior, but I don't yet. I want to trust him. Will you pray for me? Just slide your hand up in the air so I could see it. Yeah, I see your hand back there. Anybody else? Yeah, let me pray for you in the back tonight. Father, this isn't just something we come to talk about. This is real stuff.